Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event. Let's get ready to rumble!
Welcome back once again to another edition of the Best Seat in the House podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rob Kramer, alongside my co-host, Daniel Bobo Curlin. And Dan, how you doing today, buddy?
Doing fine. Would have rather have had a sweep. But it hurts scoreboard watching. I feel like the rest of the year, it's pretty much a 90 winter bust type of point in the season, and just hoping we get to 90 wins.
Yeah, you know, as you mentioned, obviously the Mets and the Yankees finishing up the 2023 edition of the Subway Series this year. Unfortunately, a little bit lackluster for us. You know, as the Mets and the Yankees are in the unfamiliar position where both teams, I mean, the Yankees are definitely still relevant in the playoff discussion. The Mets are kind of, they're really hanging out there, especially again after, you know, yet another loss tonight, as we'll get into in a sec. But they end up splitting the Subway Series again, 2-2 for the season. The Mets won 9-3 last night behind a great start from Justin Verlander, a couple of home runs, you know, from Pete Alonso. And then the Yankees go out there and win tonight behind really Carlos Rodon's first good start and first win as a Yankee. As you know, last week we were talking about Carlos Rodon getting booed off the Angels Stadium mound by Yankee fans, you know, and blowing kisses at them. And now this year, this week, he's leaving the mound at Yankee Stadium to applause after shutting them out, the Mets down pretty easily into the sixth inning. So, you know, what did you think of Rodon tonight, Dan? He had pretty good stuff, but I do think that the Mets let him off the hook a couple of times.
Yeah, I feel like expecting to happen, but just left me scratching my head watching the TV. Like, I never felt if I would have been at the ballpark, I would have walked out in just complete utter silence. Like, as I probably would have took an eternity to get out of the stadium, because I never quite got this when the Yankees built New Yankee Stadium. Nothing other, but you guys, the stadium doesn't seem to have that many entrances. I don't know if you've ever been into the newer, I guess you could sort of call it the newer Yankee Stadium. But so you know how there's very few entrances, and like tonight, that's a high demand ticket. You're kind of stuck having to get there around the time the gates open, because if you get there later than that, you miss part of the game by the time you get to your seat. As what happened to me last year when I got an alert on TickPick that some $1 tickets for the game, right? Subway Series, right? So I bought this didn't happen this year. But last year I got an alert. I bought the ticket, but it was like cutting it close when I got the ticket. But I figured, there's enough time to make it to the ballpark in time. So I'm getting there, and I got there. It was like maybe 20 minutes maybe before first pitch. There was this long line to get in by the time I got off the train, right? I entered a long line. I practically didn't get to my seat until maybe the bottom of the fourth inning, maybe top of the fifth, somewhere around.
No.
I literally missed half the game.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy, man. And yeah, that's definitely an experience that a lot of people have had at Yankee Stadium, and many of them, to be honest. But yeah, Yankee Stadium is definitely notorious for that. And
yeah, the other thing was after the game, it took, because of the so few entrances or whatever exits, took a long time to get off the train. Also, if you get on the 4 train, that I noticed that I feel like the entrance at Citi Field is more, the train station is more, better designed to facilitate large crowds for events for sellout crowds. That's.
I can see that.
Maybe those who use the D train might be different, but the 4 train, I feel it's large crowds.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're definitely, it definitely makes sense, especially, you know, Yankee Stadium over there can find, you know, can kind of feel a little cramped. Definitely is a tight area. So, yeah, you're right, man. And, you know, unfortunately for us tonight, you know, Yankee Stadium was not the friendly confines that it was yesterday. They come out on the short end tonight. But, I mean, Dan, if... you know, right now we're just a couple of days away from the trade deadline, you know, and actually too, I did want to touch on this real quick before we talk about what the Mets and the Yankees could potentially be doing at the trade deadline. But did you see that this report came out earlier tonight that looks like Angels and Shohei Ohtani will not be parting ways, because they're saying that he's off the trade block. The Angels are going to be buyers at the deadline. They're only 4 games out of a playoff spot. And they're going to try to maximize having Shohei Ohtani on their rosters for potentially the last couple of months. What do you think about that, Dan?
Well, I feel like we're going to give up pretty much the entire farm for Shohei. Another thing I'm under the impression with the Angels is that they realize they're the thing that's drawing a lot of tickets into the stands at Angel Stadium is Shohei Ohtani. I mean, I know people who were in Southern California, and the moment they saw that took a trip to Southern California, the moment they realized that the Angels were home, they decided to buy a ticket to go to the game because of Ohtani. And I think they're trying to make as much money as they can for Ohtani, because they know they're pretty much going to not lose him in free agency, potentially. And pretty much they'll be tanking all of next year. They realize all that. So they're trying to take advantage of, I guess the way that owner is, I guess. I mean, fortunately, not everyone is lucky enough to have an owner like Steve Cohen, but the way the Angels are operating, they just want to make as much money as they can from Ohtani on being on the team before he potentially leaves a free agency. That's my take on this, what's going on.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you on that, man. I think, you know, and a lot of people are going to debate this, especially years to come, you know, kind of like when the Islanders didn't trade Jonathan Tavares. Leading up to the NHL trade deadline a couple of years ago. Now people are going to be looking at, and it's going to be really, you know, analyzed. Did the Angels make the right move not trading Shohei Ohtani? Now, the one thing I will say, too, now a lot of people are going to say, oh, they could get back, you know, prospects, they could get back this and that. That is 100% true. But one other thing that is pretty interesting is that, you know, if they traded him, they'd get back whatever prospects they would get, and the team they traded him to would get Shohei for, you know, the couple of months it is, but they wouldn't be able to get any draft compensation for him. But, you know, should Shohei leave after this season, at least for the Angels, they would get some draft compensation. So that is one thing that they would get on their side. So, you know, even though it could be like cutting off their nose to spite their face by not trading him for top-end prospects to a contending team, I do think, like you said, they're going to try to maximize every day they have with Shohei Ohtani and try to get every dollar possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Also, because of this, I'm still waiting until after the trade deadline to pull the trigger on tickets to that game, but I might pull the trigger on tickets to that game when the Angels are in town, because I just feel like, and I know, I think one of those games is a day that the Seven Line Army is doing one of their outings in their little section 140, so I could see a nice big chant, "We want Shohei, we want Shohei." I could see the Met fans chanting that at Citi Field, pretty much letting show we want him here, and we'll give him an open arms welcome if he signs with us.
Oh, no doubt about it, man. I think you're 100% right. Met fans, because, you know, one thing Met fans are going to have on our mind now, especially if this season looks like it's going to go the way that it's been going for, you know, 101 games about so far, that it looks like this season's going nowhere. And we're already thinking about 2024. And as a free agent, there's a big chance Shohei Ohtani could be a big part of our future in 2024. So I definitely see Met fans serenading him during that 3-game set. So that's going to be a lot of fun to see. And hopefully it makes an impression on him and, you know, makes him want to come back here, right?
Exactly. And I'm hoping Kodai Senga did a good job convincing him to come here during the All-Star game, because they did talk. I did see in an interview he's saying he's trying to sell Shohei on coming here to New York. He seems to be all for it. Also, speaking of something the singer was saying, apparently I heard he liked corn on pizza.
Wow.
But I don't think that's a pineapple nuts, but
it might not be pineapple nuts, but it's still pretty bad.
Yeah, but just for the sake of Singa, I might actually try it one of these days.
Let's put this out there, Dan, because that's a pretty good thing you just laid out there. Shohei Ohtani and Kodai Senga. If Ohtani ends up coming to the Mets, the four of us, the two of us, the hosts of the Best Seat in the House podcast, and the two Japanese pitchers for the Mets, Shohei Ohtani and Kodai Senga, will share a pizza with corn as the topping. So we will have to do that, no doubt about it, right, Dan?
We'll eat pizza with corn. We might have to provide our own corn. You know, whatever, buy a can of Del Monte or something, put it on a pizza, get a pizza from a nice Italian pizza place out here in the area. But we will put corn on that pizza and try it.
However we got to get it done, we will get it done to get Shohei here.
we will tweet that to Senga and then comment on what we think of it.
Yeah, exactly.
I like watching some travel videos, you know, some, you know, of Japan, because I want to travel there someday. I heard there are some weird pizza toppings over there, so that just doesn't surprise me that there's going to be some unusual pizza toppings.
Yeah, man, no doubt about it. You got that right. And
like I've said, if I ever went to Japan, I would check out some things that might seem a bit weird. Well, at least for us in the States, for myself, just try it. Cause you know, there might be some weird stuff, but might end up liking some of the weird stuff anyway. Hello, can you... Oh no, you were breaking up there.
Can you hear me? Okay, there we go. All right, and let's keep moving along here. And Dan, before we move on from the baseball, I did want to get your opinion on this. You know, so much talk about the Mets and the Yankees now. Both teams are definitely underperforming. The Yankees are hoping to get Judge back soon. But I don't know, Dan, what do you think right now, if you're looking in your crystal ball, and you're looking at what the Mets and the Yankees are going to be doing in about a week's time right now, do you see either team being a buyer, or do you see both teams being a seller?
Yankees, I see them more like kind of safe, but I don't see them making anything really major. The Mets, if they are buyers, might make some of those smaller moves like the Braves did a couple of years ago. The other thing I see about the argument that might be a thing, might be a decision better to stay put, not really do much, is that I realize that if they trade like one of their pitchers, this offseason would be, aside from Ohtani, might be a challenge in getting pitching. And a lot of our prospects in the minor leagues might be a year or 2 years away. And there's a question mark of how quick anything we get in that trade would be major league ready.
Yeah, I totally agree with you too, because I think a lot of Met fans, kind of look at Verlander and Scherzer and say, oh, well, we can just flip them and get top prospects. But it's not that easy, because there's a lot of money attached to them. There is the fact that they both have no trade clauses, and the fact, like you just mentioned, I mean, I think this is the biggest thing Met fans are missing too, the short-sightedness of trading these two guys now, because what are we going to be looking at in a rotation for 2024? I mean, those guys, like it or not, are going to play a factor in this rotation next year. We saw what we got out of guys like Peterson and McGill this year, and the Mets relying on them this year just hasn't worked out, right?
Yeah, exactly. And a year or 2 years away, our pitching depth. What I do feel could happen during the offseason, we seem to have an overabundance of catchers, and I think somewhat of an overabundance of shortstop. I forget. I got to look up the whole minor league system. But I know we have an overabundance of catchers. Some of those catchers we could trade potentially for either maybe some pitching could even be maybe their teams have minor league surplus on their end, and we could get minor league surplus that could benefit us. So that's going to be I feel that's going to be an interesting thing during the offseason, what we'll do with that overabundance of catchers.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, man. That makes a lot of sense. And even if it's not necessarily a catcher, the Mets do have a lot of position players that they can choose from just to bolster that pitching depth, because they definitely need it. You're 100% right about that. And it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, the guy pulling the strings with this, because, I think from what we've seen, one thing that Billy Epler has lacked in creating since he's been a GM is good pitching depth and a good pitching rotation and a good bullpen. He has not done a great job at that. I mean, he did, to give him credit, construct it last year, but to be fair, a lot of that was already in place. He did add a couple of pieces and everything kind of fell together, but I mean, a lot of that was already in place, to be fair. But I think right now, it's going to be a telltale sign, because the crazy thing too right now for the Mets is that, let's be honest, the guy that's going to be making a lot of these decisions isn't even here yet, because the Mets will be, according to the team owner, Steve Cohen, hiring a new team president following this season. And it looks like it's going to be former Brewers GM David Stearns. So he's going to be the one making these decisions, and he isn't even here yet. So right now, all we can really do is guess, right?
Yeah, exactly. Guess. I feel the same thing with the Yankees. It's an interesting proposition, because I feel like there are a possibility they could go either way. and there's a possibility they might be not sure if they're really in it or out of it, that they'll just not really make any really big moves at the trading deadline.
You know, to be honest, I really don't think the Yankees are going to be not doing anything. I think the Yankees are going to go out there and make a couple of moves. Might not be, you know, the big time name catching moves that, you know, or eye grabbing moves that we've seen the Yankees move or make in the past. But I do think the Yankees are going to go out and add some quality pieces, but like they always try to do, because the, like, to be fair, the Yankees are still, you know, what, 7 games over .500 or so. They're still 2.5 out of the playoff spot. So even though, you know, people can laugh and poke fun and say the Yankees are in last place in the AL East, let's be honest about that. The AL East is, you know, the best division in baseball right now. And if the Mets and the Yankees were in the same division, the Yankees would be 7 or 8 games above the Mets. So
it's going to be a tough, it's going to go down to the last weekend. I mean, I'm seeing all of a sudden Baltimore is doing good. Who would have thought that one on your base, on our, on anyone's baseball prediction bingo card, that Baltimore was going to be in the thick of a division race?
Yeah, no doubt about it, man. And they're leading the charge right now. So got to tip your cap to Baltimore. They just took it to Tampa Bay over this past weekend. So still a lot yet to be determined in baseball. But I do want to keep it rolling along here, Dan. And I do want to turn the page to football, which, by the way, before we get into football, I hope everybody enjoyed our football NFL training camp preview episode we put out over the weekend. A little special treat for our listeners. We had a special guest on ESPN Radio's Jake Asman. I mean, that was a lot of fun, Dan. We got into a lot of good stuff, and, you know, Jake gave us damn near 40 minutes of his time, and that was very nice of him. Couldn't have asked for more, right?
Yeah, that was a wonderful appearance. I mean, thank you, Jake Asman, for that, for giving us some of your time and joining us for that NFL preview episode. I also have to say, I got a kick out of the background photo of his I think they call it X now, but the background on his account, the background photo, it's a license plate from the one of the most iconic Seinfeld episodes.
Yes, I got a kick out of that too. The ass man, because, you know, if you watch the episode, you'll see that Jake spells his last name Asman for Asman, but I'm sure, especially growing up in the 90s and growing up around Seinfeld fans and everything, I'm sure a lot of his friends and everybody put together Assman, and I'm sure he got called that more than once. So that's very funny to see Jake have that as his header. You're right, I got a kick out of that too. But
there was even a David Letterman back in the day, for some reason, I forgot how he found out about that there was this person in Canada, or some, I think it was a newspaper article or some bit, but there was a guy in Canada named Dick Asman, and he used to always do bits around this guy, and even would even show footage of him and sometimes talk to him on the phone on his show.
I do remember that. You're right. That was a good Letterman show bit, no doubt about that, man.
Yeah, but Letterman was, late night TV hasn't been the same since he retired. Bummed out I never got tickets to a taping, because unfortunately those were always hard to get. Even living in New York, I used to tell people getting Letterman tickets wasn't easy. I tried many times, never got through. DVR the show.
They made that as hard as possible.
Yeah. I tried as hard as possible. Never got to. One of these days, I would at least get to meet David Letterman. Maybe just personally thank him for all the laughs. That would make up for during that time never getting lucky enough to get tickets to Letterman taping. Would be one day to get to meet.
Exactly. Well, you know what? He's got an open invite to come on Best Seat in the House podcast if he ever wants to come on. And you know who also, Dan, has a open invite to come on Best Seat in the House podcast anytime he wants, and I'm sure you'd be very happy about it, is your left tackle for the New York Football Giants, Andrew Thomas, who just cashed in today on a 5-year, $117 million contract extension. This was something that a lot of Giants fans and a lot of Giants, you know, prognosticators were a little worried about, and they ended up coming to terms on this deal today. Really great job for the Giants, Dan. And as a fan, you must be excited that the guy protecting Daniel Jones is all locked up for 5 years now.
Yeah, I'm stoked about it. I broke on my I got a little alert for the Giants app that this happened. I can be more than pleased on this one. I'm also pleased that somehow they found they kind of reached an agreement with Saquon Barkley. For a while, I thought, like, what the heck? Oh, no, don't tell me Saquon Barkley's going to pull Le'Veon Bell. I was, like, keeping an eye out for this one, but luckily, Saquon reached the deal, and who knows where it's going to go from here.
Yeah, man, I mean, you said it, you know, with the Saquon, we discussed it with Jake on the show over the weekend where, you know, we were all discussing the possibility that it could turn into a Le'Veon Bell type situation. But thankfully for the Giants, it didn't. You know, they were able to work everything out and get the contract done. Essentially, the Giants really only guaranteed Saquon an extra like $900,000 pretty much to report to camp now. Because, look, the last thing you want is Saquon getting hurt at some point early on in the season. You know, I remember when Darrelle Revis had his long holdout with the Jets in 2010, and he came back about a week or two before the season started. He ended up pulling his hamstring and missing a game or two within the first two games. And I think a big reason for that was because he wasn't in training camp. And you know, hey, you can stay in great shape, and these guys are professional athletes, and they take care of themselves. But, you know, you have to get in there for practice, especially leading up to being in game shape for the NFL. So I think it was paramount that the Giants got him in as early as possible. And you got to give the Giants front office and Saquon Barkley credit for recognizing, you know, the need to get him in there as quickly as possible, right?
Yeah, exactly. Now we pulled this off. Now we can just focus on hopefully no more distractions here the rest of the training camp, and we can hopefully get through this. Like, of course, speaking of training camp, I actually fortunately this didn't work out, but I heard this year, this is the first time I've seen this with training camp, that it was still free to attend, but you need a ticket. You needed to get like a free ticket, apply for a free ticket. I myself actually tried to go online to see if I could get a hold of a free ticket to one of the days of Giants training camp, but wasn't lucky enough to. And of course, because there was a New Jersey Transit, unlike during the season and during preseason games, you know, concerts and other events at MetLife Stadium, during Giants training camp, this surprised me. New Jersey Transit doesn't offer train service there. The way I would have had to gotten there was buy a New Jersey Transit ticket, take the train to Rutherford, and get an Uber from Rutherford, which I found out actually cost, I before when I was trying to get a, you know, get a hold of one of those free tickets to see, to go to Giants training camp, I thought, let me see how this works. Turned out it would have been only $11 to get an Uber from Rutherford, which, aside from, of course, when they have game day service, you know, the MetLife Stadium, Rutherford would have been the closest NJ transit station to MetLife, and they would have had to have gotten an Uber from there. $11.
Yeah, geez. I mean, you think that at this point they would have made it easier, because I know it's pretty easy to get from the New Jersey Transit to where the Devils play, right? They've made that pretty easy.
Yeah. That's because that is Newark. That's a year round station. They even on that game. But They do a great job with the service, the train station, going to on event days when there was a game or a concert at MetLife Stadium. But for some reason, even though I'm sure they're aware a lot of people would be wanting to attend Giants training camp, and I'm sure they would get enough revenue from the service, they don't make that service available during training camp, unlike once they start preseason games. They don't. That's a shame, because I would have loved to have gone watch a Giants practice, but unfortunately, trying to get one of those free tickets didn't work out that well. But that's what it would have been, that or find someone with me with a car to do that. Of course, that I don't know, in my luck, that wouldn't be an easy thing to find someone nearby with a car that would go with me to see the Giants practice. Even. But it's the first time I've seen you needed a ticket for that.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you mentioned that too, because I saw the Jets were doing the same thing, you know, relatively the same thing, actually, where they were also getting tickets for training camp. And I had applied myself too, and I wasn't lucky enough to come across any. But yeah, I mean, that, you know, especially now with the hype being up for both Giants and Jet camp right now, it's definitely a great feeling. I mean, I've seen these guys walk out there like rock stars, getting, you know, the big treatment. Aaron Rodgers got cheered on the field. Saquon got cheered by the Giants fans, and they saw him for the first time. You know, the one thing I did want to show you, though, Dan, was, you know, we mentioned it on the show earlier this year that the Giants are going to be going back to having their logo instead of the NFL logo at midfield. And I thought that it was really awesome today that the Jets owner, Woody Johnson, announced on Twitter that they're going to be having the Jets logo right there too. So pretty cool, right? I mean, the Jets and the Giants both having a 80s throwback uniform, both having their logos at midfield now. You know, it kind of feels like these are things that should have been done years ago, but hey, it's nice to see them finally being done, right, Dan?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons why I feel like they're able to pull this off more now than maybe back in the 70s when Giants Stadium opened, of course, also they were still doing this even before the Jets had moved to the Meadowlands, because we all know that the Jets didn't move into the Meadowlands until 1984 was their first year in the Meadowlands.
Yep. Last year at Shea was 83. Yep.
Yep. They didn't do the. From all my research, never really seen a photo with any midfield logo. And the reason they're able to do this, I feel now, is because the synthetic grass surface. And by the way, I heard that this surface supposedly is a much better synthetic grass surface than what. According to what I heard, it's supposed that's what I heard. But we'll see how this goes over the course of the year. They replace the old synthetic surface with supposedly a surface that's supposed to be more like grass. I think it's similar to what they're trying to do with the synthetic surfaces in Toronto, and I heard the baseball stadium in Toronto is doing that, and I heard the baseball stadium in Miami kind of uses a similar type synthetic surface. I'm not quite sure, but hopefully this one doesn't cause our players to get torn up like it has in the past. I've heard players didn't want to sign with the Giants or the Jets because of this synthetic surface. I mean, because of the old synthetic surface, how rough it was on players.
Yeah, well, we've seen plenty of players' seasons ended, both that have played for the Jets or the Giants and have also been playing against them. So we've seen, you know, this field service, you know, wreak havoc on football players that, you know, played on it over the last few years, which is really crazy to think about, actually, that, you know, they could have had such a bad surface for that long. So really good to see the Jets and the Giants fixing that problem. Let's jump into this right now. So The Jets and Aaron Rodgers restructured his contract today. They finally signed the deal. 2 years, $75 million. You know, he was actually owed $110 million. Technically gave up $35 million. You know, I'm sure that he's going to end up getting that money at some point. You know, Woody Johnson isn't exactly hurting for money, the Jets owner, that is. But, you know, I think he's going to give him that as probably a roster bonus next year or whatever. It'll be worked out in the long run. But the fact of the matter is that this year, Aaron Rodgers' salary is only going to be about $1.8 million. And it's going to really be helping the Jets. You know, what do you think about this restructuring, Dan? It's pretty crazy to see a player of his caliber giving back that much money, right?
Well, I feel like last year, but he's sticking it out and decided to he was willing to play for the Jets, and he knew kind of he had to kind of restructure the deal a little bit because he wanted to try to at least give it at least two go arounds.
Yeah, I think you're right, because you know, a lot of it has come out, like we've discussed with Jake over the weekend. But it looks like Aaron Rodgers, who even has reiterated it this week, that this is not going to be a one and done deal. You know, he said multiple times the Jets gave up a lot for me, and I understand that. So it looks like it's a lot more than a 1 year commitment. So, you know, we see this 2 year deal. He's probably going to live up to it, but you know, it's not guaranteed. They signed a 2 year contract, but who knows if the Jets, you know, go out there and win the Super Bowl. Different story. Maybe he calls it a career and retires on top, or God forbid, you know, if something happens injury wise, you know, that could be it too. Or maybe his performance just falls off. So, you know, there's a lot to still be figured out, but the plan is right now that it looks like this is going to be more than a 1 year deal. So that's exciting to see as a Jet fan, you know, especially, you know, when we saw the whole thing with Brett Favre unfold and that uncertainty carried into the off season. And then the next thing you know, he's with the Minnesota Vikings. So glad that that probably won't be the case this time. But, you know, I'm a Jet fan. I'm still waiting for the other shoe to drop. And actually, Dan, before we get out of here, the last thing I did want to cover with you was, you know, it's funny. The Tiki and Evan show, or Evan and Tiki, whichever way they want to go, started on WFAN this week. That was a necessity because Craig Carton left for Fox Sports and TV, and he's going to be doing that kind of thing. But interestingly, where Carton really wasn't much of a newsbreaker, you know, in the reporting vein, but he actually reported today, Fox Sports' Craig Carton reports that running back Dalvin Cook, the former Minnesota Viking, will visit the Jets on Sunday, and that the two sides are about $1 million apart on a deal, but the Jets are his preferred destination. So, you know, I think if the Jets were able to get Dalvin Cook in here, man, I mean, you can't have enough great players. And Cook, despite some of these allegations that are coming out about him with his girlfriend, and unfortunately right now, you know, they're still just allegations and it's still got to be proven, but it's not a good look. And it's not something that you really want here to be a distraction, because, you know, if the Jets sign him, that's something that's going to be one of the first questions that's asked. So, you know, what do you think, Dan? Do you think that Dalvin Cook is worth it right now for the Jets, or should they just concentrate on the guys they have in camp right now?
I say maybe at 50, they're probably going to entertain the offer. I mean, unfortunately, it's a situation like we remember like a year ago, leading into the football season, I came up with a little bit when I said the all mugshot team.
That was a great bit, by the way.
Yeah, I just felt like when I realized over the years, of course, my life, I realized football. I mean, it seems like so many of these players, so many football players, have been arrested for various things, and I just thought it'd be a nice little silly idea, the old mugshot team. It's especially, we've all heard the running gag, the NFL, that National Felony League.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was a bunch of those things that kind of inspired me to do that bit last year. The old mugshot team.
It was a great bit. We're going to have to bring it back at some point, too, because as we know at the NFL, there's always new mugshots to go after. So definitely got to check that out again.
As a matter of fact, that bit, thinking of using with the old mugshot team, but this one didn't work out because surprisingly I couldn't find his mugshot, and this one surprised me as a Giants fan apparently, but we'll forgive him for his, because this is probably some dumb shit, because we all heard of people doing some dumb shit in college. It was kind of a small thing, but apparently during Eli Manning's college days he had a D with him. And
I remember you saying that.
Yeah, and the reason I found out about this because of a documentary when it was ESPN 30 for 30s. It was titled The Book of Manning, which is a great documentary, by the way. As ESPN always does with their 30 for 30s, I watched this and I heard about that. Well, I remembered that when I'm preparing for this bit. Surprisingly, I could not find a picture of that mugshot. All I could find was the original article back in the day that was published around that time when Eli was in college, and that's all I could find in that. So that's why at that time I didn't list the quarterback old mugshot team, because I couldn't find a picture of that mugshot.
Yeah, well they had that squashed. You know, that's for sure. They weren't gonna let Eli throw his football career away for a D-Wee. But yeah, you know, so you know, like we said, just to wrap up on that, yeah, it looks like Dalvin Cook with the Jets, he'll be showing up. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting to see how that you know, plays out. And the funny thing is that we'll be seeing some of the inside on that, because it's gonna be captured on Hard Knocks. So we're gonna have a lot of fun content once that starts on August 8th. So we're about a week away. You know, next week at this time, we're going to be talking about the Hall of Fame game and everything leading up to that. So, man, we're in full football mode right now from here on forward, pretty much. There's going to be a couple of week lull in between the end of for the preseason and the beginning of the regular season. But we're on that train now, man, and it's not stopping until the Super Bowl, right?
By the way, I got – I don't know if you can pull this, but – I know sometimes when a local player gets into the Football Hall of Fame, you hear stations like WFAN giving away tickets to the ceremony. I might try to see if I could call in and try to win one for you.
I would appreciate that, because Revis and Klecko going in, man, oh, it's a Jets fan's dream.
The only problem is I remember like the last time, and the reason I didn't try calling in when they were doing this for Michael Strahan's ceremony was the travel wasn't included, similar to what a lot of these radio stations do with Super Bowl tickets. Travel's included. So I was thinking of doing it, but yes, just giving it a heads up, if I try to do this and winning it, unfortunately they don't include the transportation to Canton, Ohio.
Okay. I appreciate it, buddy. But you know what, as a matter of fact, Dan, you know, before we get out of here, because we're about to wrap it up right now, you know, you said on Twitter earlier tonight that if the Mets won, you'd open the show doing a cornholio. So you know what? Because the Mets lost, how about we close the show? Well, you know, and then we'll do our little plugs right after. But how about we end the show right now with you doing a little cornholio and telling the Mets to get their, you know, do your cornholio.
All right, well, you're a little break up there. I'm about to break. Hold on. I am the great Cornholio. You must bow down to the almighty bungle, for there is but one bunghole. Are you threatening me? You must get the Mets, get their act together, go on a winning streak. You are upsetting the almighty bung, the almighty bunghole, the almighty Cornholio. I need more to be my bunghole. Where is my one bunghole?
There we go. And a round of applause for the great Daniel Bobo Carlin. And his interpretation of the great Bill Holly. There we go. And I like to mention phrase more at the end of the show. All right, Dan. Before we get out of here, do you got any plugs for yourself? Fight this crowd down.
Definitely. I have a plug. I guess you can follow me. I guess it's the full X now. So my X username on the X is Bobo103NYC. On Instagram, it's Bobo718DK. YouTube, Daniel Carlin, one word.
That's right, so make sure to follow Dan there and check him out. You know where else to check us out too, at @BSith_podcast on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Follow me on there, my last name, KramerNY, and also Best Seat in the House Podcast on Instagram. Give us a follow. Give us a like. We appreciate it. Subscribe to us on YouTube and Rumble. We appreciate that too. So once again, thank you everybody for the support. If you haven't seen it yet, check out our special bonus episode with Jake Asman from over this weekend. And check out everything else. Thank you so much for spending your time with the Best Seat in the House Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Rob Kramer, with my co-host, Daniel Bobo Carlin. And we'll catch you next week, everybody.